We're very thankful to each of you who are parents who have sponsored young people here at the conference this week. We want to let you know that we have had a very enjoyable time with your children, with the young people. And it's a privilege for me to stand and represent our brother Chuck Berry, our brother Emil Nashet, our brother John Redekop, others who have worked all week with your children and young people. It's a privilege to handle the next generation. We do not take it lightly. It's a serious responsibility. And yet we do it with great joy, because we know if the Lord should tarry, He is looking for those to whom we can pass the baton. And we have sat with the young people this week, young men, young ladies, brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have told them that this is training time for them, and that it is an important time, and that they should buy the time up to understand that at this moment in their life, God wants to instruct them from His Word. And that if He would tarry, there is coming a time when they're going to have to step forward to be teachers and leaders. But it's only going to be possible if they have taken the time to learn at this stage. Now, we spoke about a lot of things this week, and I'm not going to go into all of them, because I want you as parents and guardians, when you're in the car going home tomorrow, Sunday around the dinner table, and next week, I want you to ask them in detail about what they learned here at a week at Grove City College, at Easton Bible Conference. I want you as parents to find out if they have listened and if they have learned some of the lessons that we have sought to teach them. And I want to speak first to those of us who are parents, because I think that in this day it is very, very vital. It is critical that we have a vision for the next generation, that we realize that if the Lord would tarry, that He would desire to have your son and my daughters, your daughters, to be those who He would raise up and use in our local assemblies. It is not the desire of the heart of the Lord Jesus that He would give a mother children that would be born through her loins, and a father to have children that He would name for them to go out into the world. I don't believe either that He would bring a child into my family amongst the saints that I walk in practical fellowship and bring that child up to go amongst another gathering of believers. I don't believe that. I believe that He has given children to myself and my wife and to you and your wives so that they might grow up amongst those to whom we walk in practical fellowship. So I want to charge us as parents that all the energy that God has given you and I, that we use it to focus on our children. We use a lot of energy for work. We use a lot of energy to buy and to build. But the greatest thing that you and I can do in terms of our energy is to focus our children towards the Lord Jesus. Now, I'd like to read just very briefly from the 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we have been in this book the entire week. We've sought to instruct our children and our young people. And there have been many lessons that we have sought to teach them about this epistle that was written to Timothy, a young man. It was not written to an assembly. It was written to a young man about the day of ruin that begun when Paul was there, but most certainly we live in this day of ruin. The last days, the perilous days, the difficult days. And we have instructed and told them that Timothy, though he had a very special gift that he was given, that everyone, every young person that was in that room this week, God wants them to be Timothys. He wants each one of them to be able to stand in a day of ruin, a day of great profession in Christendom, a day where very often many take the name of the Lord Jesus who are not his, and yet they may look, they may speak, they may perhaps even act or act better than some who take the name of the Lord, and yet they are not saved. They are professors. But God is calling them and us to stand in this day. We've told them that they need, as young people, young sisters and young brothers, to have a sound, an outline of sound words. Paul said to Timothy, "Thou hast fully known my doctrine." They need to have the Word of God in their hearts. And they need to be able to handle the Word of God skillfully. They need to be able to identify that which is false. And to do that, you have to know what is true and what is real. But I want just very briefly to read one verse, chapter 1, verse 12. I actually want to read two verses. Verse 5, Paul says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." We spoke to the young people, and young people, this is just a review for you. Paul said to Timothy, "I know of your spiritual legacy. I know that you have, by the grace of God, you had a grandmother who had faith in the Lord Jesus. And this grandmother, though it may not have been popular for her, she put that faith and pointed her daughter towards the same Christ that she believed in. And Timothy, I know the days are difficult. And I know, Timothy, that many have left and forsaken me. And many men have come in amongst the saints of God to overthrow the faith of the saints of God. But Timothy, I'm going to tell you, I know your grandmother. I know her faith. I'm reminded of the faith of your mother. And Timothy, I know that this is the same faith that is in you." Young people, as we look around this room, as we have walked over the sidewalks here at Grove City, we have seen your parents and guardians. God has blessed many of you with several generations of God-fearing, God-believing parents and grandparents. Do not take this for granted. It is a spiritual legacy. And your parents and grandparents have in faith and with the determination that if they point you to Christ in your youth, that you will turn to him. And many of you have professed that, yes, we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior. Well, Paul, who was a man who was in prison, he says, "I want to give you this vision." He said, "Amidst all of the afflictions that I suffer," in verse 12, he says, "nevertheless, I am not ashamed." Young people, when you go home, when the real test begins, the Spirit of God is saying to you, do not be ashamed of the gospel of God. Do not be ashamed to suffer for righteousness' sake. Do not be ashamed to stand with those who have like-mindedness according to the Word of God. It is a day that we need to stand for God. We need to be steadfast. We need to be immovable. Paul says, "I am not ashamed." And this is the part of the verse that I love so much. And I want to tell you, the Apostle Paul was a man who got it deep in his soul. He spent his whole life on the wrong side of the street. He was a persecutor of those like you and I who owned the name of the Lord Jesus. He was there when Stephen was stoned, and they dropped his clothes at his feet. He had letters that he was carrying to Damascus to imprison those for faith in the Lord Jesus.